driving buggies. And as I observed them, it took me back to my childhood when there weren't the conveniences that we have today. And life in many ways was rather rough. And as I think of that in relation to our society today and our present culture, we have so many advantages and so many opportunities that my generation didn't have back long time ago. And yet, today we also face some real challenges. We have foreclosures, fires, floods, swine flu, chicken flu, tsunamis, terrorism, tornadoes, cancer, cholesterol. I was reading just this week in Christianity Today how Christians in this generation are having to deal with a very rapidly changing culture. So there are both positives and negatives as we look at life in the present. As Charles Dickens once wrote, we're living in the best of times and the worst of times. Robert Schuller commented, we may not be able to control what happens to us, but we can control how we react to what happens to us. I believe this is the message of the Apostle Paul in the text I'm going to read for us this morning. He's sitting in a Roman prison, writing to a church, living in the midst of a pagan society, experiencing conflict within. And he writes Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. This, by the way, is my wife's favorite part of Scripture. And I always try to do what pleases her. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the final series of admonitions that summarize the whole philosophy, spirit, and conduct of the Christian life. The exhortations are divided into two separate paragraphs. One makes prominent the peace of God, and the other the God of peace. The first is a result of believing prayer. The latter is the source of spiritual power. The first exhortation is to joyful trust, and the second to high thinking and endeavor. And as I thought about the world today and the situation that we face, and all of us facing, I felt impressed that we need this admonition The Apostle Paul is given to a troubled church, people living in a troubled pagan culture, and writing from a crummy Roman prison. And Paul, in this epistle, thus urges us, first of all, to rejoice in the Lord, to praise. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get the message the first time, he repeats it. I say it again. Rejoice. Paul apparently felt that this was a very important admonition. He mentions it earlier in his epistle in chapter 2, verse 18. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. In fact, rejoicing appears some 19 times in some form or another in Paul's epistle here. This is not to be the occasional experience of exceptional people. Paul lays it out as the ideal for every believer. Rejoice always in times of darkness and light, in times of pain and pleasure. G. Campbell Morgan once wrote, "We owe it to our Lord to go through the streets of London on a foggy day with a smile on our face." G. Campbell Morgan wrote, "Long-faced Christians do more harm to the faith than any other cause." When we face difficulties and have problems, we can choose to praise or we can choose to blame. We can choose to blame ourselves. And that only fills us with guilt. And we find ourselves less able to deal with the situation. We can blame God, and that cuts us off from the source of power. And doubt is turned to trust, and we become bitter and cynical. We can blame others, and we become judgmental and critical, and that destroys relationships. We can frown and complain, but have you discovered that only makes it worse? The truth is, as Christians, we always have something to thank God for. Our sins are forgiven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus is constantly with us. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you even to the end of the age." We always have something for which to praise God as believers. Someone has written, "You can't feel your way into a new way of acting, but you can act your way into a new way of feeling." Let me repeat that. You can't feel your way into a new way of acting, but you can act your way into a new way of feeling. Jesus gave us admonition of three cheers. Matthew 9:7. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Matthew 14:27. Be of good cheer. It is I. Fear not. John 16:33. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul admonishes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. There are some circumstances that I am not terribly thankful for. How about you? But he's saying give thanks in all circumstances. And he admonishes, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. Second, he admonishes us to rely on the Lord, to pray. Verse 5 through 7. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul here outlines three basic stages. First is a premise, stop worrying. Second, the practice, start praying. And finally, the promise. The first two must take place before the last one can occur. The seed has to come before the fruit. Stop worrying, Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. Have you noticed this, folks? We are natural worriers. We are natural worriers. It comes natural, does it not? I don't have to say to myself, I think I should worry about this. It comes naturally to us. That is evident because how often the Bible tells us to not be anxious, to not worry. God knows that we're natural worriers, doesn't He? The truth of it is, worry is like rocking on a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. I have this analytical mind. I like to be sure that the bridge is safe before I cross it. I like to be sure the investment is safe before I invest. It isn't easy for me to believe. In fact, I've discovered the thing that is most difficult for us to do is usually the thing that we need to do most. And it isn't easy to do the things that are going to give us victory when we face the challenges of life. I've often heard it said, Christians do not worry. If you worry, you must not be a Christian. Wrong. If you worry, you are normal. Let me reassure you that. If you worry, you are normal. I had some folks come to my office some years ago, and they told me what they've been doing, and I said, I got good news and bad news for you. Said, the good news is we're normal. The bad news is you're sinful. We're all flawed, aren't we? Worry comes to us naturally, doesn't it? Have you ever heard, this always upset me. You tell somebody, I'm really struggling with this. I just can't help worrying. They say, well, I never worry. I just pray. You ever heard that? I want to go. I don't need to be put down, right? I want someone to say, I know what you're struggling with. After I struggle with it, you know, I discover I should go to pray. In fact, I believe God allows situations to come that cause us to be anxious, so we do pray. And we do keep in touch with Him. I remember this little poem I learned some time ago. The worry cow would have lived to now if she hadn't lost her breath. But she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she worried herself to death. So Paul admonishes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. When I was in the Salem First Friends Church, they always sang the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Are you familiar with that? Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Young man was leading our singing years ago. He was young like I was back then. His favorite hymn was, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Good admonition, isn't it? You know, there's two things that we should never worry about. Number one is things you can do something about. What do you need to do? Do something. Things you can't do anything about. Turn it over to God. Todd Bollinger comments about his experience in their first building program. He said he was filled with anxiety. He tried to control everything. He fretted. One day a friend handed him a little note, and it read, Todd, trust me. I have everything under control. Signed, Love Jesus. I know what he's talking about. I've gone through 7 building programs at East Richland. The wonderful thing about it, in spite of my anxiety and fretting, God was able to take care of it. What a relief to know that the burdens of the universe doesn't rest on our shoulders. Max Lucado was one day walking with his daughter in a strange place. He was holding his daughter's hand and he looked down and said, Honey, do you know where we are? She looked up, No, Daddy, I don't. Said to her, Do you know how to get home from here? She looked up and said, No, Daddy, I don't. He looked down at her and said, Are you frightened, honey? No, she said. Well, he said, Why aren't you frightened? She said, Because you're with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is able to take care of it. Someone's quoted, if you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be discouraged, look at others. If you want to be defeated, look within. But if you want to be delivered, look above. Have you ever noticed if you chase a mouse with a broom? The mouse doesn't look at the broom. He looks for the hole. And when you're challenged with the difficulties and reverses of life, don't focus on the problem. Look to the one who can bring the solution. Rely on the Lord. Pray. Then finally, Paul admonishes us to radiate for the Lord. Be positive. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We humans also have a disposition to be negative. Have you noticed? Remember Rufus in the funny papers? It's always my favorite part of the paper, the funnies. To every new proposition, he always said, I don't think I'm going to like it. The optimist sees the cup half full. The pessimist sees the cup half empty. The engineer says you should have a smaller cup. Some people can go into a wonderful church service, come out, and find one thing wrong. Have you ever met people like that? Those are the kind of people that make you happy twice. You're happy when they come into the room, and you're happy when they leave the room. Negativism spreads, does it not? Therefore, Paul admonishes, be positive. Charles Swindoll suggests, life is 10% circumstances, 90% how you react to the circumstances. Todd Hunter did an in-depth survey of pastors. They were all hard-working, diligent pastors. He discovered that those pastors that were and stayed positive succeeded 95% of the time. Those pastors who became negative were unsuccessful 82% of the time. Surrounded today by people who are down in their mouth, sure that we're headed for doom, we need to be reminded, and that's what I'm sharing with this morning. We need to be reminded that Christ is triumphant, that he's not wringing his hands, thinking, what can I do? But he's going to ultimately work out everything for our good. I was reading in our Rotary magazine some time ago about this organization that offered a bounty of $5,000 for wolves caught alive. So Sam and Jed went out searching through the mountains and the meadows looking for wolves. That night, exhausted, they lay down, dreaming of the fortune they're going to gain. Sam woke up, looked around, and discovered that they were surrounded by 50 wolves with bright, shining eyes, bared teeth. Sam nudged Judd and said, Judd, wake up. We're rich. You see, there's two kind of birds flying over the California deserts. There's a hummingbird and the vulture. The vulture sees only rotting meat. The hummingbird is looking for the tiny little blossom of the cactus. You get what you're looking for. Be positive. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. But I want to say this morning, It is the best time to radiate for the Lord, to be positive in this negative society in which we live. So let me admonish you this morning. Be joyful. Be pleasant. Be trustful. Be positive. The Lord is at hand. And we're going to eat spaghetti right after this service. And I noticed if you eat the Thanksgiving dinner right before your business meeting next week, you're probably going to get a very positive response. So I've been asked to pray for your spaghetti dinner as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you for not leaving us alone in this world. You sent a counselor and a comforter to us, who not only is with us, but dwells in us, and has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So as we face the challenges, we pray that you would help us to rely on you, to rejoice in you, and to seek to radiate you in this needy world in which we live. We thank you for the opportunity of sharing about these tables this morning. Pray that you would bless the food to our bodies, that you would be with each one as we fellowship together. And we pray your special blessing, especially upon this church. Give them guidance in obtaining the pastor that you would have them to have here today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the people said,
Amen.
God bless you.